A story. I have a friend, Mike, my best friend's cousin, who prefers to stand on the ground as opposed to in a tree during our deer drives, those doggedly simple brush-busting operations that move sitting deer from one area to another with the prospect of the almighty barbecue awaiting on the far end. It's not because he's afraid of heights, but because he says he's a better hunter on the ground. Mind you, Mike is a 6-foot-something, 280-pound ex-football player and former Army corporal who likes to chew tobacco and demolish adult beverages with impunity. He wears a blaze orange coat that has such an odd camouflage pattern that we call it a cow camo because of its resemblance to a cow's hide. His physical presence isn't fooling anyone, least of all those nimble deer. Hunting with him requires talking him into getting up in the tree stand overlooking the opening where the deer always pops out. We remind him that if we let him stand on the ground, the tall grass will be in the way of his shot. It's also much safer to be up in that permanent tree fort that we built. One afternoon in November, following the usual short lecture, we got him to climb up into the tree stand, and off the rest of us went to set the drive in motion. After a grueling 45-minute walk through intensely thick cover, Mike's low voice crackled over our radios. "I've got deer moving toward me." 5 minutes passed, during which we waited for the deer to respond and make their move toward this massive friend of ours. Then we heard him unload all 5 shots out of his 12-gauge. Those of us walking the drive wondered to ourselves just how many deer would be lying there when we reached him. 3? 4? When we arrived back at the stand, Mike was already on the ground. No deer. No blood at his feet. No hair anywhere from a near miss. Most surprising was the guffaw he let loose as soon as we reached his position. One of us asked him if he had ever seen a deer, to which he answered uproariously, "Yeah, there were 5 of them. I missed all 5 times and probably could have reloaded, but I ran out of shells. I told you that I should have stayed on the ground." "So we pushed the gravy train right by you and you missed everything?" I asked. "I didn't know which one to shoot at." "Any of the ones with 4 legs would have been good," I said. Maybe he should have stayed on the ground, or maybe we were right by putting him up in that tree, based on our experience in this location. All I know is that from that day forward, and we christened the area the Gravy Train Spot because of this very incident, as well as the fact that we always found deer moving there, one couldn't be sure of anything. Laughing is a part of our defense system, the final round in the holster. When I heard, "I've got deer moving toward me," I imagined Mike's excitement, paired with the anxiety of a fish in a barrel complex. I imagined him telling himself, "Missing is no big deal," or, "Maybe they won't even come this way," as if to prepare himself for the worst. Laughter, it seems, was all he had left. Contrary to this are the experienced hunters whose egos are fully enlarged. Their uncertainty is confidence, their failure, success. They are the ones who will usually find ways to brag about their harvest, or who will take a lifetime to achieve any skills worth sharing. The one thing their egos won't let them do is admit it. Even though hunters are unique in their individual styles, the goal is a common one: to harvest the deer or other game. But finding what works best for each of us gives rise to many forms of methodology and, of course, debate. While one hunter's technique to take ducks on the lakeshore may include the specifics of how he sets out his block of decoys, another has a surefire gimmick that he's certain works better. Naturally, this is fine. All of us revel in our own styles, habits, and techniques. And if they work, why give them up? It's not that the hunter wants to keep his ideas to himself, but that he has the desire to make his way known as the best way. The hunter reveals his techniques for many reasons, but bragging rights are prominent among them. Case in point, I have another friend, Tommy, with whom I've hunted deer for years. He likes to use a portable tree climbing stand to put different areas of the woods closer in his sights, moving it around before and especially during the season like the rest of us. One year in particular, the woods in our area abounded with tales of hunters whose equipment had gone missing, mysteriously growing legs and walking out of the forest all by itself. Since Tom is about as trusting and cynical as any of us who've had something stolen, He doesn't like knowing that his stand may disappear, even with a padlock on it. So here was his solution.